You're listening to the Lost Chill podcast with Katie and Kimmy. For years now, I have had the pleasure of listening to the wit, banter, and pure joy from these two, and now I invite you to share in the delight of listening to them discuss the books they're currently reading. Whether you are a fellow dedicated bibliophile or simply wish you had more time to read, you will love hearing the insight and discussions around the stories they dive into. So grab a cup of coffee or pour a glass of wine and let's jump on in. Katie and Kimmy, take it away.
Hello, hello, and welcome to The Lost Chill. I am Katie.
And I'm Kimmy.
And we are your hosts here to talk about books and probably Taylor Swift. Well, that's just me.
Well, when we're recording this, you have to understand that there was just a large announcement.
There was just a large announcement, and I can't even. We just heard, as of this recording, two nights ago, that we were getting TS11, the Tortured Poets Department, and I can't really think about anything else.
I'm sure, I'm like, are you going to keep reading after this? A midnight.
I haven't even finished a book this month, which is, I mean, she announced it on what was that, the 5th? 4th.
Whatever Sunday was.
The 4th. And I still, but I just, I don't know. My focus is already dwindling.
Oh, no.
I know.
I have to talk about old books then.
Oh, dear. It'll be okay.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Yeah, so that was exciting news this week for all the Swifties out there.
Did you watch the Grammys?
I did not. I didn't even realize it was on.
I've never even watched the Grammys, but I felt it was necessary this time. I don't know why. I just
because she was up for her 13th win.
Yeah, I don't think I even knew that, honestly.
That's surprising.
I knew that she would have broken a record for winning Album of the Year 4 times.
Oh,
that I knew. Which, how cute is that? 4-13.
Oh my gosh,
we're so cute. So I never watch, and it was a struggle to get it. I was going to borrow a friend's password, but it just wasn't working.
Uh-huh.
It was still saying upgrade now when they had the upgraded version. I have Paramount Plus, but I didn't have the upgraded version, which is why. And then I upgraded and it was stuck on a Super Bowl ad forever. A placeholder, like this live broadcast will start soon kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And I just couldn't get it to work until a little bit in, right before.
Oh man.
Doubt, and I was able to see it.
Right before her performance or before it started?
She performed?
She didn't perform.
Oh, right before she won.
Okay.
Right before she won and announced.
See, that's how much I know about what happened.
Yeah, and it was actually really hilarious because I just knew. I think as soon as she said, I've been keeping a secret for 2 years, I just jumped up and down and started screaming. And I still heard what was going on. But my husband didn't. And so he's like, why are you screaming? What is happening? What is this? And he's like, nobody can hear her. No one knows what's going on over your screaming. Mind you, it was just me and him and our kids.
Right.
And I was like, I know what it is. A new album on April 19th. But I will say I did scream so loud. I was like, oh, God, it's going to be real embarrassing if it was Reputation. Because I was so sure it was new album. Even as I was screaming, I was like, that's what she said, right? That's what she meant, right? Because couldn't truly hear over my own screaming.
Oh my gosh. I can just picture this too. I can just absolutely picture you jumping up and down just oh my God.
Yeah, it was intense.
That's hilarious. I did, however, on a TikTok today see Miley Cyrus's performance. You get that?
What did she perform? I didn't get to see her performance. My hair was being funky.
She performed Flowers. And
okay.
It was the most iconic performance I've ever seen. Even the end, she mic dropped to the extreme. And I was like, that is badass. I could have watched that 1,000 times over. It was awesome.
Oh, that's awesome. Her hair was intense.
It was. It was.
That could have withstood a hurricane.
It could. I also found it very strange. I felt that she was intentionally being petty in her acceptance speech, where she was I want to thank my mommy, and then listed off everybody else and didn't say anything about her father. She's like, yep, I think that that's it. And I was like, you get it.
And by the way, I forgot to wear underwear.
Yeah.
And that I did too.
I may have forgotten to wear underwear.
I did see it. What was also precious to me, and one thing I love, I will not let us talk about anything but Taylor, is when SZA was up there accepting her award,
mm-hmm.
and she was like, oh, hi, Taylor. Like, what? Did you see the pulled back video?
No, I didn't see this at all. So
basically, she won an award, and she's like kind of just talking, and then she's like, oh, hi, Taylor. I love you. And then she's like, oh, I'm not cute when I cry, so I'm just going to go now. Bye. And like, that's how she ended her acceptance speech. And it was focused on her, obviously. But then I saw someone's like cell phone video pulled back, and it has Taylor standing up while everyone else is sitting down. And so I think that specific, like, it wasn't just like she found Taylor and like randomly loved her, which I'm sure she does, but Taylor's the only person standing up for her.
Yeah.
So that's why it like brought her attention to her.
She's always, you know, supporting everyone
else. She is. She's always like the only one standing, which is, I think it's so cute. It's so cute. And I mean, she said in the past, like, she knows how it feels like to not have anyone standing for you, and she just won't let that happen. Oh, I love her.
Coming up on stage and doing shitty things, but that's neither here nor there.
This makes me feel a fury.
A fury?
Oh my.
It took you over.
It was a fury in my throat.
You were possessed by a fury. Let's talk about The Fury by Alex.
Michaelides?
Is that how you say it?
I don't know. I thought that's how you told me.
No, I never knew it. I could never figure it out. I've never heard his name be pronounced before. So if you're lucky enough to be watching on YouTube, because I did figure out the YouTube nonsense and yeah.
Bravo. Thank you.
Elder millennial. If you're lucky enough to be watching this on YouTube, I'm just going to hold up the playbill that Caledon Books sent to us, and you can see his name for yourself.
What did you just call it? Isn't it Celadon?
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Celadon, Caledon, Michaelides, Michaelides, I don't know.
Oh god, we're so bad at this. I don't know why, but it's a real struggle just pronouncing things and speaking.
God,
leave it to the professionals.
Right. I would like to blame this on a list, but there's like no S's in either of those. Well, there's one S, but it's at the end and that doesn't count.
Oh, well. So this is book number 3
yeah.
for this guy. You have read the first one, Silent Patient. You want to talk about it real quick?
I don't really remember it.
But you liked it?
I liked it. I thought it was great. There was some twists and turns. It was a psychological thriller. I did not read the second one, but you read the second one, The Maiden.
I read the second one, The Maidens. Mm-hmm. So that one, I really enjoyed the writing. Like, I was super engrossed. I really liked just the flow of thoughts. Like, it didn't feel stiff or anything. Like, I liked it. So I was like entranced, but then there's just icky things that I do not like that are major book turnoff for me.
Yeah.
Like, it was incestuous and stuff with juveniles, like together,
like just, two juveniles like, together.
No. Like, an adult and a minor, also incestuous kind of situation.
Oh, I don't like that.
Spoiler alert, everyone. Sorry, I should say the man. So, but also probably people should be warned about that stuff. Yeah. There are not that many trigger warnings for me in general. That would be one, which I wish I would have seen in advance because I did not enjoy that. And then actually our girl, Rebecca Yarros, not the same thing, thank God. But I was... Like, I just had a book of hers, I think, like, The Last Letter, something to you. And I saw one more review. I had seen so many that loved it and said it was a tearjerker, but I found one review and only one that said, trigger warning for child loss. And I was like, nope, you can have that back, library.
Oh, man.
So,
I recently had a conversation with somebody on Instagram about how more books need to just have those sort of trigger warnings. Cause I'm with you. I'm not a fan of the incestuous stuff. Like, I stopped reading Wayward because there was some incest in there and some sexual assault as well. And it's like, be upfront with that information. not everybody wants to read that kind of stuff.
Right.
From the conversation that I was having on Instagram, I tend to read nonfiction on audiobook, so I don't really experience those trigger warnings. But she was saying that some audiobooks, more than, you know, Kindle or actual physical books, put that trigger warning at the beginning of the audiobooks now. So I don't know if you've come across that.
Maybe pretty rarely.
Well, that's unfortunate, but you still liked it.
I liked the writing. I just didn't okay. like the story or the twist. So it was overall a bust for me, and I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, so The Fury is completely different than The Maidens, it sounds like.
Yeah, but one thing that he does do that I'm smart enough to pick up on when I read The Maidens is he does little Easter eggs referring to each of his books. And so in The Maidens, I think it was maybe because it was the same therapist that's in The Fury, and they were talking about another patient who never speaks. And I'm like, gosh, I wonder if some might call that patient silent. So he does that. That's cute.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the entire epilogue was, I don't know if an Easter egg is a strong enough word, but an homage to the silent patient. I was reading before we started recording tonight, I was reading some reviews on Goodreads, and that was actually one of the biggest complaints was the epilogue. And I don't mean to jump ahead, but people were upset because it's like, not everybody's read The Silent Patient. Not everybody understands that reference and stuff like that. So people were kind of pissed about it.
I don't think so. Like, I mean, I guess you can be pissed about whatever you want to be, but
yeah,
like,
I mean, you didn't read The Silent Patient. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I don't think it like took anything away from the story itself. Yeah, it'd be one thing if like you had to read The Silent Patient to get it, but I feel like it was like literally just paying homage. Like it was not, like it was just referring to it. It wasn't like it didn't make sense without that. You know what I mean? It made sense.
Yeah. And I feel like you can kind of infer from just basic knowledge on The Silent Patient that that's what he's referring to.
Literally the only knowledge I have about that.
Yeah.
It's a patient. It's silent. And I don't know. I'm not good at pronouncing shit, but I can infer like a mofo.
Right? Same. So much same. Well, let's dive in.
Okay. Okay. What a book. It was...
We haven't really talked about this outside of this yet, so I'm very curious.
We have, I don't even know, is it clear from the very first chapter that it's like a first person unreliable narrator? I feel like he kind of sets the scene. It's like someone dies. Who?
I think the first act is kind of unreliable and we don't really figure out what's going on until the second act because it's broken up into five or six acts. I can't remember how many, but the first act is kind of setting the scene and not giving you all of the information that you really need.
Yeah, and it was done in a way, I will say 100% that I knew who did it before I knew who died.
I would have to agree with that.
I was like, okay, it is for sure this guy. We're not going to say it yet. We'll save the spoiler towards the end so you can listen. But I was like, okay, so who's actually going to die?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I had to flip back. I was like, did they say it? I missed it. And I didn't know their names yet, so it didn't click. I'm like, nope, it's mystery.
I will say one of my favorite parts about this book, and this is just the silliest thing, and I don't know why. I really enjoyed it, was the uber short chapters and also the acts. I liked the acts, that it was broken up that way, and I liked the short chapters because it made it easy to read. You could read a few pages and if you needed to set it down. I'm a sucker for books with short chapters.
Oh yeah, they're the best. I feel like I flew right through it. It was actually a short book in general, though. I was surprised by that. It has been a hot minute since I have read a print book.
Oh.
And so I like picked it up. I was like, oh, this feels pretty good. I looked at it, it's like 295 pages. And I was like, ew.
We couldn't even get to 300 there. I need to avoid that word while recording.
Oh, you. So precious. Okay, so I like that. So we basically,
have, like, the scene is set, and then it's found out that we have like one main narrator, and he kind of is very slippery. Like, he goes in and out of like complete, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, not quite back tra flashbacks.
Yeah.
Like, he goes back from flashbacks to like what led us here to like, oh, let me give you this backstory with this person. But it was also kind of like sitting down and telling you the story face to face at the bar.
Which I liked. It
I
felt
like that too.
personable.
It did. It did. So he was telling the story of how him, his very good friend, her husband, her son, and her other female friend were all going to an island, and there were two additional characters being a assistant, a
Yeah.
housekeeper, and then like a caretaker for this private island. So we didn't have that many characters. They're all mostly tied to one person, and none of them really like each other, but they all like her. So
Right. It
this
was.
actress, yeah, I'm so bad at remembering people's names when I finish a book.
No, I'm with you there too. It was, we'll just call them the, what was it, the seven? Yeah. They, honestly, I'm not sure that you could get a group of people who are more unlike or had less in common in a room together, other than the two women, the main one, I think her name was Kate. I could be completely wrong on that. But the two women actresses, the only thing that they truly had in common, it felt like, was that they were both in Hollywood.
And in love with the same guy.
Well, that too, which was awkward. It all stems because the main character finds out that her bestie is secretly dating, I guess,
Having an affair with, like,
having an
straight up,
affair,
yeah.
yeah, with her husband. And she thinks that she is going to go away to the island as this group and that she is going to confront her. And
The other strange part was, though, like, just for more of the backstory, is that this friend was kind of already interested in, I don't even know if they were fully dating beforehand, but then the main actress met her and she was like, oh, I really like this guy. Like, would you mind stepping aside? And then her friend was like, oh, okay, I guess. Yeah, I'm such a good friend.
which was like really weird because why, if you're not okay with it, like why do they end up together anyway, kind of deal. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
That felt a little rushed to me and a little bit unbelievable because it's like, okay, if you're gonna step aside for your friend to go date this person that you're interested in, then you're just gonna circle back around to be with him anyway and have an affair and screw over your friend. Like it just seemed like there had to have been more to that story, in my opinion. I mean, maybe it's just what it is.
Right. And I don't know, unrealistic is a word I would use, even though it was, but it to me almost was like a caricature of like the worst of Hollywood types. And that's just how it felt. Kind of icky, which isn't even exclusive to Hollywood. It happened in Friends too, where like just everyone sleeps with everyone and
Right.
but we're all okay with it. And what fantasy land do you guys all live in?
I don't
I
know.
know that the number one cause of like crime and heartache is like romantic relationships.
For real. And love triangles. It, I don't know why that just reminded me of, do you remember, like, I think it was like in the early 2000s, that astronaut that drove across country to go kill her husband and the woman that she was having an affair, or that he was having an affair with. And she wore diapers while she was driving across country so that she didn't have to stop. The look on your face tells me you don't remember that.
I've literally never heard the story in my life.
I don't know why, like, that stuck with me, but it did, and it happened, and the early 2000s were a hoot.
They
It was a
were.
different time. She was doing things. She was doing things. She got caught. Hence why we know this story.
I don't even know what to say to that.
Sorry. I just completely dovetailed off of that into
No, it's
something
okay.
absolutely ridiculous. Fine.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm sure some people do, but again, like it does have to put that, like, I don't know, like a kind of splinter in your friendship where it's so small. you pretend it doesn't bother you, but it's like literally all you can think about all the time, and it does. So
Yeah, I don't know. How do you feel? Because another thing that I saw on Goodreads too was I don't know why I was so focused on negative reviews of this book, because I think honestly it's because I've seen so many mixed reviews on this. And I was trying to figure out what people disliked about it. And a lot of people just did not like the way that he wrote women. What do you think about that?
I feel like that's kind of silly. Like, again, people are gonna be mad about whatever they're mad about. I feel like every character was very unlikable, and I feel like that was like an intention, like an unlikable narrator. Like, I don't think he was trying to make super wonderful women. And so I'm like, yeah, I didn't like them either, but I didn't like the men. I didn't like anyone. And I
That's
feel like
fair.
that was intentional.
That's fair.
And I used to have a bigger problem with that than I do now, because I think I've just accepted it for what it is, and I'm like, this is the intention of it. Whatever. Not everything's gonna be like a character driven fall in love with these characters forever. Like, sometimes it's more of the story that's driven, and having unlikable characters helps, because that's especially in this kind of situation where it's what's this kind of mystery called, where it's like one closed door, almost closed island,
Yeah, I guess you
I
could call it
guess.
closed door because it's on an island.
And so there's only like so
Yeah.
many people it could possibly be.
Yeah.
I think that making unlikable characters is the easiest way to add suspicion to everyone, because they all have those dark sides that are truly not likable. So I get it.
Did you ever see The Glass Onion? No.
Is this what the astronaut ate while driving across the country?
No. No, it was a. It's a movie with a whole bunch. It's like a star-studded cast. There's actually two movies. There's Knives Out and then there's Knives Out Glass Onion. But Glass Onion takes place on an island and is a really good movie. Like they're both
Is it like
great
super
movies.
old?
No. Like the first one I want to say came out like before COVID, and then the second one came out like maybe last year or the year before.
Rings
Great
zero
movies.
bells.
And they're with I can't think of his name,
People?
but he was James Bond.
Oh. Wasn't like everyone James Bond?
No. There's only been like eight James Bonds.
Do you know how many Elle Woods there have been?
One. Well,
Okay.
are we counting Broadway?
No, we're talking
No.
about movies on our
Gosh.
book podcast. Get it straight.
Damn it. Well, we squirrel off a lot.
That's fine.
Hold on. Let me consult my movie expert. Stand by.
Hey, hon, who's in Knives Out, the James Bond? What's his name?
Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig.
That
I
means
said
even
that
less than
first.
me.
What?
That means even less to
Does it
me.
really? You don't know Daniel Craig?
Like, you know, my movie
I
watching
know.
literally peaked in the early 2000s, right?
I know, but like he's pretty famous. He's pretty good. Anyway, he's basically like this detective that is brought to this island with a whole bunch of people, and there's a murder mystery, and there's a whole bunch of stars. Like Paul Rudd, I think, is in this one. Could be making that up, but there's like a whole bunch of people.
I believe you. Usually there are in movies.
No, but like a lot of famous people, and it's really good. It's really good.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, it reminded me so much of that movie. And maybe he was drawing inspiration from that.
I doubt it, because you know what I bet is more likely is that it was made clear what the inspiration for this book was multiple times. And so I imagine that they both had the same inspiration, and that's why they were so similar.
Did I miss that? Which,
Agatha Christie.
okay, that's what I thought it was. Yeah. And
And
Knives Out references that as
I'm
well.
certain you should probably research that.
Yeah.
Glass Onion, is that inspired by an Agatha Christie book?
I bet it is.
I wouldn't be
Oh,
surprised.
yeah.
Remember when we thought Agatha Christie was alive? Or was that just me?
I totally forgot about that. She's not.
You know who else isn't?
Toby Keith? Oh.
I realized as soon as I said that, who else we could think of, and I don't want to talk about it.
Oh. We had
Okay.
some news this week. Like, it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, right? It's Tuesday. And Taylor Swift announced a new album. King Charles has cancer. And Toby Keith died today. Been a day.
Yeah,
Been a week.
it has been. Oh,
I'm
man.
nervous for the rest of the week.
Ooh, we can get through it. I'm so sure.
I
Okay.
love this bar.
Oh,
I know.
I saw him in concert. He put on such a good show.
Where'd you see him?
Fiddlers.
Oh,
And it was actually like, it was one of the best starts of a concert, probably third best. The first being Reputation, Are You Ready For It? The second being the Eras Tour build-up. Oh my gosh. Anyways, but he played some trailer of some like comedy western thing that they were in. I mean, like country stars in general. Like it was like a very country thing. It was a western. It was like one of the like Blazing Guns comedy. Like it was just very theatrical and big. And so he plays like a trailer for this, and it ends with like all the big explosions and gunfights, and then it just transitions like the real pyrotechnics, and like it's just everything is going off and popping off, and then he's
Oh,
like,
that's pretty
bam, he's
cool.
there. It was
That's
really
pretty cool.
intense.
I never saw
Yeah.
him.
I used to be so big into concerts, and it was a time when I was also very big into country. And so I saw a lot of those guys.
I was also big into country at one point. Not anymore. I don't like country anymore. I saw Brad Paisley. That was the only country person I've seen.
Oh,
Oh,
I saw
and
Brad
Blake
Paisley.
Shelton.
Oh, I don't think I've seen Blake Shelton. Seen Brad Paisley, Toby Keith. I saw Tim McGraw a lot.
Oh.
And that actually like helped amplify, kickstart my Taylor Swift thing when she released a song called Tim McGraw. And I was like, I also happen to love Tim McGraw and have a song that means something to me as well.
Oh.
Hers was Can't Tell Me Nothing. Crazy fact, I didn't tell you this. Mine was something like that. And you literally, okay, I have a tattoo on my back for a friend of mine who died while I was in high school, and he was born and buried in Texas. Our song was something like that by Tim McGraw. You literally put that song in your Insta story.
Is that the barbecue stain?
Yes, that's the
Oh,
barbecue
okay.
sauce song.
That's
Like
how I know it.
it was the anniversary of his death, and you played it, and it was so crazy. I
Are you
also,
for real?
yeah, I'm for real. I
I had
yeah,
no
and
idea.
that same day, I also found a vodka in Dripping Springs, Texas, which is where he's buried and born. And it was like just all this crazy stuff. Yeah, super
Was it like
wild.
a big milestone of his death? Like 20 years or something like that?
I think
Because
it was
that
like
would be even
12.
weirder. 12?
Yeah,
Okay.
or 13. I actually don't remember like what the exact year it was because it's been so long. Because I'm like, when was I a freshman? When did this happen? Because it was like this, I think it was my sophomore year actually that it happened. Because I met him the summer after my freshman year, and he had a barbecue stain on his white t-shirt, and I had a mini skirt, obviously, as one does. And then it was like the following winter that he died in a car accident.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Crazy.
It was crazy. There have been so much weird things lately.
Oh, that's weird. I'm glad that you shared that though, because that's kind of creepy. Not creepy like in a bad way, but just like,
Yeah, it
a
was.
weird
I was
one.
like I almost like I don't know, like it felt weird to even like bring up. I'm like, oh, hey, by the way, I said I'd tell you later on air.
Yeah, it's fine. The only reason I played that song was because I got barbecue sauce thrown at me when I was running. And I literally have not. That's
I
a
would have
story.
cried so hard.
Dude, I was so pissed. You have no idea. Like the fact that I even had to like text you and my husband and just
Did
share.
she like say anything? Like, or like what? What? Like she just
No.
looked at you and chucked a barbecue sauce?
So what happened was I was 5 miles into a 10-mile run. I was running up this big ass hill. It was a nice day out. I had taken my sweater off. It was tied around my waist and I had a sleeveless shirt on. And this car, I'm like running against traffic so I can see the cars coming at me and I'm on the sidewalk. And this lady is in the passenger seat of this white sedan and the window's down and she like puts her hand out of the window. And I was like, she's just enjoying life. And as she gets closer to me, as she gets closer to me, she like just like flicks her wrist and this barbecue sauce, this open fucking McDonald's barbecue sauce, may have been honey mustard. I'm not really even fucking sure what it was, but it came flying at me and splashed all over me. It is all over my arm. And so like I take my hand and I like wipe it off and I like turn around and I'm like just screaming and cussing. And I was like, that's probably not the best idea while I'm on foot and there's literally nowhere for me to go.
Right.
And so I just like stopped and I started walking for a little bit and I was like texting you guys and I was texting my husband and just like I couldn't believe it. And then I get to the top of this stupid hill. I forgot that there's all this construction and apparently they're working on the sidewalk over there and the construction workers start yelling at me because there's wet concrete. And I was like, I'm still 5 miles from home and I'm just going to cry. And it was like the worst thing ever. So I posted on Instagram about it and here we are full circle. And there's a barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. But I did not know that that's what the song was called because it's been so long since I've listened to country music that all it is to me is barbecue stain on my white t-shirt. I didn't know that's what it was.
For most people it is.
Yeah.
When I was pregnant the first time, so like 18 years old, me and my friend went to Country Jam.
Oh, yeah.
And Tim McGraw was headlining. That was like the main reason we had to go. But they legit had beanbag throws where what you were aiming at was white t-shirts and your little beanbags were barbecue stain.
Oh, that's great. Did you win?
Yeah, of course I did.
Awesome. Awesome. That's cute.
Oh man, so funny.
Did you happen to like Google or see Toby Keith, like a recent photo of him?
I mean, I saw lots of pictures of him today. I don't know how recent they were.
There is one in particular that I saw from a college football game like in September of last year. And oh my gosh, he was like completely unrecognizable. Mm. And yeah, it's really sad. And he actually looked more like Keith Richards than he did himself, which was crazy. And it's just really sad. It's really sad. It's very
he had a lot of good songs.
He did. He's just,
I like Whiskey Girl.
See, I don't know names of songs.
She's my little whiskey girl.
Oh, okay. I do know that one.
Probably because I sounded so much like him.
You did. It was identical. I don't know if you know this, but this is a book podcast.
Between besties who just talk nonstop.
Talk nonstop about books and Taylor Swift and music and random things.
Fine. It's fine. So the Fury, I don't know. Fury. People were on a... So the strange thing I liked about this is I really didn't like the narrator. I already told you I didn't like anybody in this book.
Right.
We had our narrator who was like obviously unreliable, also unlikable. But again, the writing, like it was pretty gripping. Like it was like, it was interesting, like how it was just like so conversational almost. But then he had like some deep thoughts about stuff that I liked.
Narrator did?
Yeah. But do I, oh gosh. Now I need to look. I don't know if I have them highlighted.
Oh, that's okay.
Because I read the actual book. Let me look, because sometimes when I don't read stuff on my Kindle, I get a copy from the library and then I highlight stuff even if I still read it the whole other way. Nope, I really don't have anything.
Oh, man. What are your thoughts on, while we're talking about the narrator, what are your thoughts on the frequency of him breaking the fourth wall? Did you like that?
What? Him breaking the fourth wall?
Are you familiar with that term?
No.
So in movies or books or whatever sort of fictional media you're listening or watching or whatever, anytime that the narrator or a character acknowledges the audience, it's called breaking the fourth wall.
Oh.
And so that fourth wall being the wall between you and the...
That's funny. Story. I've never heard that. No, I don't know why. Yeah.
It's like even it could be specifically like in movies. You don't see it very often in books, but like specifically in like movies, it's if somebody like winks at the camera when they say something that they know is controversial or funny or snarky or whatever, and they'll wink at the camera or... Yeah, exactly. You just acknowledge the fourth wall.
Beautiful. I didn't. In a way, I feel like sometimes it is like more obvious, like The Office does that a lot, right?
Yes.
That's a very great example of someone doing that. This, I mean, I guess in the end it was revealed that it was like basically him journaling, right? So it's just acknowledging the reader. Because sometimes like it was just very, like is it a way to describe like he's telling his story to someone specific and is aware of that's what it is. And yeah, I didn't mind it. I liked it.
I really liked it. It just felt really personal and it felt like you were like corresponding with a friend.
And I almost think that's what saved it for me. I didn't love it, mind you, but I liked it a lot more than I thought I would for sure. And I think that's why, because everyone was so unlikable and like just not, it was pretty chaotic almost and just dramatic, which I do not love in books. But I think you saying that that's what made it personal. I think that's why I still liked it at all, is because it did give me something to like connect to and there was a part that was still enjoyable, and it was that.
Even though the characters were unlikable and unrelatable, it really saved the book by having that personal experience from the narrator. And just, you know, this is my buddy. He obviously messed up. He's telling me exactly what happened. He wrote this letter to me, he wrote this journal, whatever it is. And that's just what it felt like.
I don't think it felt journally until the end when it was like revealed. Like it did feel like he was talking to you though.
I agree with that. Until it was revealed that it was a journal, I would not have even guessed that.
Right. Yeah. So good writing, I guess.
I like to admit stupid things on this show. The cover. What is this called?
The Fury?
No.
A book. A playbill. A circle.
Oh, so you don't know it either. It's a thing. Hold on.
It's a thing. A third eye. A cyclops. I don't know. Is it an eye? I don't know. An island.
Hold on. I gotta Google it. It's a god's eye or something.
Illuminati?
Nope. This is definitely a god's eye. Did you ever make those in...
No.
Camp? Oh, God.
Sorry. That's funny. Did you like how the character would do the flashbacks and then bring it back? Like, okay, this is the island story. I'm going to progress it a little, like give you some crumbs. Oh, and then I'm going to give you our backstory. And this is how we met. And this is why we don't like each other. Or blah, blah, blah.
I didn't like it at first, but I ended up liking it towards the end. Like once you sort of got settled in and knew the characters a little bit more and knew kind of what was going on, you kind of expected it a little bit more. For me personally, it's always jarring for even just like a new book because you don't know the cadence, you don't know the flow, you don't really know what to expect. So once you get that down, then it's more enjoyable at that point. What about you?
Yeah. I didn't mind it in this book because I think that's part of why, like, I think it was like the short chapters. Like, I just felt able to like keep moving along and I never really felt that lost, especially because he would always like introduce you. Like, I don't feel like it was like super jerky and like, whoa, I was just on an island in Greece. Like, why am I in the theater now?
Yeah.
Because some books do that and I freaking hate it.
I hate that as well. With a passion, I hate it.
It's like, it's so,
where it takes you like a couple of pages to even realize where you are, when you are, or
what narrator it is.
Yeah.
And I think too, because he would be like, tell a story. Okay, this is this character. Here's how I feel about them. Here, let me take you back a little bit because I'm going to tell you why. And so it would be like a kind of a transitional way that. And I think that helped a lot.
It's called an evil eye.
Oh.
And it is, it's been found through thousands of years in history across different cultures. And the symbol is supposed to be used to ward off variations of evil intentions. And I am actually glad that you didn't know what it was either, because my oldest child, I was reading one night and they came into my room and was like, oh, an evil eye. And I was like, I literally
thought I've heard of that. I know what I've heard of that. I'm familiar with evil eye and how it's supposed to ward off stuff. That didn't look like one to me, but I guess. Oh,
there's an evil eye emoji. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, there is on the iPhones.
I mostly use the laugh crying one and the celebration one. And the
because we're millennials.
And the but what just hands the praise Jesus ones.
Oh, it's just the hands? Is that what you're trying to get?
No, the hands are like, yeah.
Yeah. But you're trying to move yourself so that
it's just the hands, there's no face. There's no face.
So that I would understand. Okay. Very good. So would you recommend this book to anybody, do you think?
Yeah. I mean, people who like thrillers.
I wouldn't even call this a thriller, though.
Well, people who like mysteries. Yeah, it wasn't very thrilling.
No, it wasn't. Very character-heavy.
People who like drama or mysteries, I would recommend it. But to the average person or someone who's like just asking for a book to read.
It was definitely full of a lot of drama. Too much drama for me, honestly.
I honestly don't ever read books like this. I don't read a lot of mysteries. I don't read a lot of dramas and unlikable characters because I don't like them. Mm-hmm. So honestly, I don't know if I would truly recommend this book or it's the only one I know. No, that's not necessarily, like, I liked it. Like, it was good. It was engrossing. It was interesting. Like, it is very interesting to me that the suspect was much, not even the suspect, the person who did it was much more obvious than who was actually killed. Like,
which is kind of a neat take.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
One twist that I didn't really see coming is how, like, when it was explained that it was all fake setup and he was all, that he, like, had planned to fake somebody's murder.
Right.
Did you see that coming?
I did not. That was definitely a twist. I think that was the twistiest of twists for me in this book. I did not see that coming whatsoever.
Yeah. So, okay. And then it was also interesting, too, just going with more of the drama and unlikable characters that, like, once it was revealed, it didn't stop. And they're like, oh, well, let's keep pushing the limits and let's do that. And so I feel like that was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, when he felt outsmarted because he was still trying to manipulate the situation. And then he got himself into a pickle.
Pickle.
A literal pickle.
Literal pickle. Yeah.
So, yeah. I liked it.
I did, too.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, definitely not like a 5-star. Oh my God, you have to read this. Read, but it was a decent read. It's a fast read. It's interesting enough. And I think that a lot of the problems with people giving it negative reviews, I think that they're expecting a thriller, like an actual thrilling thriller story. And this is not it. It's extremely character driven. It's a mysterious plot. It's a whodunit, basically. And even though you already know who done it, it's a who did. And
I don't think it was like super obvious who did it. Like no. It was a who done. Like I still like he was still keeping that a secret.
It was
for a while, but it was suspected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it was confirmed.
Right.
Which I don't know. Maybe if you're just along for the ride and don't even think about it, maybe that could be fun for you.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not going to be like a Riley Sager book that you're being chased and things are happening.
Was the Silent Patient a thriller, or was that more like along the same?
I personally think it was more of like a psychological, I wouldn't call it like a thriller. I would just call it like a psychological fiction book, honestly, because it takes place in a mental hospital. Mm-hmm. And with
it, get murdered.
Yes. So if I remember correctly, like it's been years since I've read that book. I believe that somebody gets murdered. I think that the patient is in there because she was suspected of murdering somebody. I could be completely wrong on this plot, but I think that she was suspected of murdering somebody. And then she clams up basically because she's dealing with it, coping with it. And then there's a twist on who actually committed the murder.
Oh, interesting. Is there anything in the Greek islands in that one?
No, not that I recall.
Oh, because I feel like Greece was also pretty heavy in the maidens.
Yeah, I mean, it's where he lives, so.
Well, yes, I don't know if he was like, this was another thing that he was putting in all of them.
How do I remember?
I would say that both that I've read are also pretty psychological, too. Because mm-hmm. Even this, like some of his just deep thoughts about like good and bad and why people do what they do. I wish I had my book with me because I think I bookmarked them. I just don't have it handy.
Mm.
But there were parts in this where I was like, oh, okay, we're getting deep here. It's not like, it wasn't for sure all drama. There were nuggets of, oh, human behavior analysis. Okay.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed that. The Maidens was pretty different from the sounds of both of these in that it was like much more of the like dark academia
mm-hmm.
type of situation.
Were there any that you can recall off the top of your head? Were there any Easter eggs for the Maidens that you saw in there?
It's the same therapist.
Oh, I didn't pick that up. I didn't put that together for whatever reason. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So everyone needs therapy in these books because they're psychological.
Which I'm assuming he's now in jail, the therapist.
Not necessarily.
Well, after the Maiden.
Why is the therapist in jail?
Am I mistaken then? No?
The criminals are having to go to therapy.
No, I know. I totally misinterpreted what you were saying.
Our narrator is in therapy in the book, and it's the same therapist that someone else was seeing. Or
got it.
I don't know if she was even. She could have even been the narrator of the last one. I don't know. But I don't think there's any therapist in jail unless one from the Silent Patient.
I don't know. I just show up.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
I think I have a Maidens, actually. I still need to read it. I don't know if I will, actually, based on our conversation at the beginning of this.
Oh, okay. Not. I was like, oh, okay. I just told you don't.
But no, I know. I was like, no, never mind.
Yeah, that's fair. Sorry. Well, so aside from that, the Maidens, would you read anything else by this author?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. I'll probably read his next book that comes out. And I like his writing style a lot, and I think it just depends on, I mean, if he writes another book with some incestuous themes, I'm definitely not going to be reading that anytime soon. But if it's similar to this or The Silent Patient, I will. What
Yeah,
about you?
I might pick up The Silent Patient. Who knows?
Yeah.
Probably will. Why not?
It's not scary. It's not like thrilling. It's just a good, I think, slow burn.
I do like a slow burn.
Well, I don't really have much more about The Fury, but I am curious what you are reading right now.
Oh gosh. So I've got some thoughts about that. I'm actually reading the third book in a series. So I gotta tell you, I gotta make a confession about what time I was stupid.
Oh.
The book I'm reading is called The Atlas Complex. The first one was The Atlas Six, then The Atlas Paradox, and now The Atlas Complex.
I haven't heard of any of these.
Oh, they're good. They're good,
Okay.
mostly. In every single one of these books, there has been a character named Atlas. I didn't even like really think of anything of the title until this third book when they're like the Ezra Six, and I was like, Atlas. It's Atlas.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, like even when I saw his name, I didn't think it. I don't know why. Maybe I did, and it's been so long. Because I think these series have been pretty spread out. And so, as a whole, I like the series. I liked the first one the most. This one is jumping a lot of perspectives. And so, I'm struggling with that because it has been a while since I read it. And it's like not giving any really back story or like connecting or anything, like just jumping right back in. But we're switching all these perspectives. And so, I'm kind of like, what is going on?
Oh man, that like we talked about earlier, that's hard.
It
We
is. It is
barely.
a lot of perspectives. And because the first one, I think that only went through the like six people, which is a lot still.
Yeah.
And it just had them. And the second one, I think it had the Atlas character and the Ezra one that I just spoke of. And then this one, it has all those same ones plus someone's brother plus this, and it's just a
Are
lot.
you
I
gonna
don't even.
finish it? Is
Yeah.
this the last book in the series?
I hope so.
Oh,
I do like it because it is like my personal. I don't even know if it's a trope or a genre or just a thing that I really, really like is time travel.
Oh, do you want to know an exciting thing I saw? Hopefully, you saw. Dark Matter has a TV show start date finally.
I did not see that. What is it going to be on?
Apple TV. Do you have that?
I do.
I don't.
I'll get
Okay.
you a login.
Thanks. But it is
Apple, you
coming
didn't hear
out
them.
May.
May of this year?
Yeah, this
Oh,
year.
okay. I still haven't read the book. I need to.
What?
It's on my shelf. Literally, it's right behind my head. I
I hope you know now that when we do blind date with a book, it's just going to be three
It's
different
fine.
descriptions of that
Dude, I'm struggling to find a book for blind date for you because every single time I'm like, oh my gosh, she would love this book. I go look at your freaking Goodreads and I'm like, motherfucker,
I'm sorry.
you read this book already? Damn it.
I'm
And
sorry.
then once I see it on your Goodreads, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember her telling me about that. Most recently it was Station 11. And I was
Oh,
like,
I love Station 11.
see? I was like, oh my gosh, she would love that book. And then I go to your Goodreads and I was like, oh, and I see the cover and I was like, oh no, I remember her telling me about this. Yeah. So I'm still looking because you've read too many freaking books.
I'm sorry. I'm so
Okay.
sorry. It's gonna
All
be
right.
so fun, guys. So we'll just tell you a little preview for you to look forward to. The next time we record, we're going to come up to each other with like three descriptions of a book that we make up, and we're gonna tell it, and then that person's gonna pick, and they have to read that book, and it'll be like we're picking blind dates for each other, and then we're gonna read them, and then we're gonna talk about them, and they have to be books we've already read, so we can have like conversation
Right.
about them instead of like, tell me about this book I forced you to read.
Exactly. Or, I mean, I just read it at the same time too. So, because that's what I was planning on doing on something, because you kind of have like a way different genre than I do. So we'll see. The book I was reading, I was like, oh, she'd probably like that. And then you already fucking read that too. So, Yours Truly by Abby Jimenez. Do you
Oh,
remember
she
that?
has another book I haven't read, I think.
Yeah, it's.
Yours truly was very good.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
am
Something like
almost
that.
done. I should finish it tonight. So I'm really liking it. It's more of the miscommunication trope, which I don't like, but I was okay with it in this book because it's the multiple perspectives and you get to see how much in love with each other they are. So it's not as terrible.
I don't know if I'm just so mature and like grown as a person. Miscommunication Communication is something I have also gotten over. Like, I used to hate it with a passion, and now I'm like, that's kind of the most realistic trope because the number one thing people suck at is communication. So I
That's
get
true.
it, and it
And
makes sense.
that's why I get so frustrated because I'm just like,
It's
trust.
too much of a mirror. Like,
Yes.
let us stare directly at the sun, never in the mirror,
I'm just like, just talk. Just fucking talk. Just
All right.
say what you need to say.
Right. And then I'm like, okay, you go confront that person, Katie. You're like, oh God, no,
Yeah.
confrontation is terrible. I would never. I'll confront somebody any day.
Yeah, you will.
Cut me in line at Costco.
You're the muscle. Yeah,
Yeah.
so it worked in this book for me. I'm not as upset about it as I have been in the past, but maybe
It
I'm
just doesn't
maturing.
bother me anymore. Yeah.
I'm just like,
I
please.
don't know. Another thing about reading a lot of books too, which could possibly be the reason with this stuff, like why unlikable stuff doesn't bother me, miscommunication, but like I read so much, and kind of if I like had such strong things, I feel like I would hate every book because I read like such a high volume that like I don't know, the 5-star reads are there, but I have to get through so many that like I really there's something I don't like about them, and they're good, and I'm okay with them, but they're not what I love.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's fair. Like, it doesn't, I mean, not everything that you read has to blow your socks off. It
Yeah.
just has to, like,
But I feel like if I looked for that, then I would DNF way too much and then not accomplish anything.
yeah. And I mean, this book is like a solid, like, 3.5 stars for me.
Yeah.
Like, granted, I haven't finished it, but like, I don't love it. I don't love the trope, but you can get past it enough. I think that if the writing is good enough, the character development is good enough, or the plot development is good enough, I think that you can get past it.
Have you read anything else by her?
No, I haven't. It's funny. I've followed her on TikTok for a really long time because she has the funniest dogs ever. Have you seen her dogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are so freaking hilarious. Like her trash panda of a rescue dog. And then the like beautiful, I think it's like an Irish pointer or something like that, that her husband has for the hunting dog. And they're Tessa, I think her name is, or something like that. And they're both wildly different and it's hilarious. And she reads the comments about how people roast Tessa all the time and that she looks like serious and stuff. And it's
That's so
really funny.
funny.
I
I love
actually, I think that she's sick though. Not the dog, the author, Abby Jimenez. I think that she has cancer. Yeah. I saw something recently and she hasn't been in my feed for a minute. Let me see if I can confirm
I'm
that
trying to
before I
think if
start
I've seen that.
spreading.
While you look that up, is yours truly the one where the male's dad has a grandpa or something who has lung cancer and always wants a cigarette?
I don't know if he has lung cancer. That hasn't come up, but
Oh.
he's on oxygen, but yes, he always.
Oh, so okay. Okay. So maybe I could have made up the lung cancer part.
Yeah, she has ovarian cancer.
Oh.
I know, which is terrible. So I haven't really seen an update on her. She announced it over the summer that she has ovarian cancer, so I hope that she's doing okay.
Oh, I hope so
Yeah.
too. Man, that's rough. I think about that book all the time. I had forgot which specific one it was because I've read all of her books except for one, I think, the most recent one. But the way with this grandpa wanting to smoke, the way that it ends up and like with the way she's admonished, kind of like it just blew my mind and stayed with me. And so you'll have to tell me when you
Okay.
finish so you can talk. Like I was literally just telling my work friend Margie, hi Margie. but I was literally telling her about this yesterday.
Really?
Yeah.
Lots of coinkydinks lately for you.
Absurdly so.
Yeah.
Absurdly so.
Yeah. I really enjoy it so far. I'm like 85%. It has taken me a really long time to read, and I am so sorry to my local library that my Kindle has been in airplane mode for several weeks. You will get your book back very shortly. I apologize.
Does it really keep it like that though?
Oh
It was through
no.
Amazon.
It is, and I'm like, if it was really that big of a deal, like they would be harassing me, like turn your airplane mode off.
The other thing that happens though is when I return books early and then it presumably goes to the next person, it's still on my Kindle. It
Oh,
might,
really?
and it will still, 'cause like you get 21 days. And so say I return it on like day 18, I won't get anything from Amazon until 21 days, and then it will be like, okay, now your loan has ended.
Oh, I haven't noticed that. I'll pay attention next time. I don't really go out of the home or onto the home screen very often and when I'm reading a book. So I don't ever see it. You know what I mean?
I just get the emails. I'm like, what one is ending? I'm like, oh, I finished this one 2 weeks ago. Cool.
Oh, now that you say it's just the emails, then yeah, I've had that where I'm like, oh, I thought I already returned that because I'll hit it in the app and be like, return now or whatever it says.
Oh, I do it from the library app. Yeah. Is that what you do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
From Libby?
Yeah. I thought you went the Kindle app for some reason.
No.
Okay. Well, that's fun. I love books and reading and you and Taylor Swift. Tell me now, because when this airs, when does this air? I don't know.
April.
I need to know what Taylor Swift song you're claiming from those track titles.
Oh,
I kind of think Fresh Out the Slammer is really, really moving up there for me. I don't know why. Like, it's just so funny to me. But Daddy, I Love Him is also.
There was one song that did, obviously, like, I don't know what it is, but there is one.
I'm so pumped.
Hold on. I had to pull up Googling a lot this episode.
I think I need to get into Reels, and I kind of think I want to make a parody set about, like, what I think these songs are about, but, like, very obviously joking, like, not what I actually think they're about, but make it funny.
That would be great. You should.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I need to get back in the Reels. I'm kind of over TikTok. I don't think I'm going to go back or re-download it. I loved it, but they had like all the stuff with the music drama and music rights, which I heard was fixed, but that seems lame. Everything with like the time they wanted your phone password. I'm just like, I can't even with you, TikTok.
Phone password?
So I'm not going to. Yeah, there was like an update where it was like requesting phone passwords.
Oh, I never got that.
Yeah, and so I just can't even with TikTok. And so I will get into the real life and be funny.
I think Guilty as Sin.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm excited for the one that she's doing with Florence and the Machine, the list I'm looking at.
Florida, !!
So it may not be a bop. I mean, like...
It's going to be a tearjerker for sure. Yeah. You can't have !! And not cry. You met Taylor Swift.
Guilty as Sin and Fortnite, I think, are going to be the ones that I'm going to like. That's what I'm assuming now, just based on...
I'm just so excited. I am having a lot of inner turmoil about if I want to like just listen to myself and then have a birthday party for myself when you and Paul can be there.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul. Paul likes when we talk about him.
Hey.
It took a while this time, Paul, but here you are.
Here you are.
So maybe we'll have a party with everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you're down for, I'm down for. I mean, I think I'll be on Eastern time, so I'm going to actually have to... I will be on Eastern time. I know that for a fact. Shouldn't say I think I will be. Because I'll be on the East Coast. But I would actually have to stay up until midnight.
Real midnight. Because it comes out mailer. Midnight, Taylor Swift standard time.
Right, Taylor Swift standard time. And that is actual Eastern standard time. And I don't know if I could physically do that.
Yeah. So I might just wait and do it. Paul gets back Sunday. Hi again, Paul. Do you get back Sunday or a different time? Maybe we'll do it Friday after something.
No, he doesn't get back on Sunday. The conference is during the week. Or unless he's staying for something else. I'm coming back like Thursday or Friday, something like that.
Well, we'll get it figured out. We'll definitely like have reels and posts and stories. That's my selfie.
Whoop. Yep.
We'll do that. You guys can come join with us whenever I decide when it is. I don't know what to do. We'll figure out. Okay, well, thank you guys for talking about The Fury with us. Well, and sorry we didn't talk about anything else like we usually do.
Yeah, we'll have to fill that with the next episode.
Bye.
It's been real.
We hope that you enjoyed this week's episode of the Lost Chill Podcast. Please help our podcast to reach more listeners by subscribing and leaving a review. We read every single one together and jump up and down, screaming with glee every single time. So you know we just truly appreciate it. And that is a true story, folks.
It's very true. If you can't get enough of the Lost Chill Podcast, check out our website, thelostchill.com, for blog posts and more fun. Also, consider becoming a Patreon supporter for exclusive content and swag. We are constantly improving and growing our offerings, so be sure to check back often.
If it's additional reviews and cute puppies that you're after, follow us on Instagram at Katie's Lost Chill and at Kimmy's Lost Chill. Follow The Lost Chill as well to get all of the latest information on upcoming books to be featured, upcoming author chats, giveaways, and so much more.
Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.
Bye.
Aww.